Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, welcome to Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here with us. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Yeah, and we welcome you as well. And we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. We're talking about the knowledge of God and how that knowledge has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to talk about how this knowledge of God can help us in our day-to-day lives to overcome the great barrage of lies and deceptions and all of those things that come at us living in this world. And the verse I want to read today, Andrew, is this. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." So all these lies are lies against the knowledge of God. "And we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Well, as believers in Christ, for example, we know that God is love. We know that God is forgiving. We know that God is merciful. We know that God is kind. We also know that there are no accusations for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So God is not an accuser. He doesn't accuse us. So we go through life oftentimes with all kinds of accusations running through our minds. Well, this is a verse that can help us with that, isn't it?
Yes, certainly, you know, we are our own worst critics if we're not careful, Bob, and I think this passage speaks to that. It's very tempting for us to agree with the enemy's accusations and say, well, you know, I'm just a no good, sorry excuse for a child of God. Sure, I may go to heaven, but I'm just not like that guy, or I'm not like that girl, or, you know, I just can't measure up. We go to church, we look at other people, we try to measure what they're experiencing, and then the enemy feeds on that and just begins to accuse us and tell us, well, maybe I'm not even saved. Well, you know, maybe I'm out of God's will. Maybe I'm out of fellowship. Maybe God's disappointed with me. We start buying into the enemy's sales pitch. And here Paul is saying, you got to take those thoughts captive, man. I mean, you gotta make a concerted effort mentally to say, you know what, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to soak in the truth, and I'm going to know the truth so well that when a counterfeit shows up, it's going to be plain and obvious. I mean, that's what they say in the banking industry, right? You get to know the real thing, and then the counterfeit bill is going to just stand out like crazy. Well, that's what we're doing with the gospel truth, Bob. We're saying, I am going to get to know this new covenant. I'm going to fuel up on the grace of God. I'm going to start believing that I'm holy and righteous and blameless. And then when a thought comes that insinuates that I'm unholy and I'm unrighteous and that God is blaming me, then I can say, wait a minute, that doesn't fit. I'm putting up my Jesus filter here. I'm putting on my new covenant glasses, my grace glasses, and I'm going to look at this thought. I'm going to examine these ideas in light of Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here when he says, take every thought captive.
Yeah, and I think that is such practical advice, such good advice for us on a day-to-day basis, because we're always confronted with all kinds of lies. I mean, if we're going to live in this world, we're going to have to live as children of God in the midst of all kinds of crazy things going on around us. Not only going on around us, we have the desires of the flesh that crop up as well. And so we have to continually just kind of go back to home base, yes. back to truth that will set us free. And Andrew, I love that example that you gave about the banking industry, knowing the real thing so well that we are able to spot a counterfeit. And, yeah, we need to know who we are in Christ. We also need to know who God is. And that's what we learn, and that's what the Spirit of God teaches us. And if we will just keep our minds focused on Christ, then we will be able to take every thought captive and bring it to obedience to Christ Jesus, the truth about Jesus and the truth about who we are in Him. So thank you for those keen insights. I just really appreciate how you couch that in such practical terms. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I once did a little research on the FBI and their procedure with forgeries, and there was an expert named Steve Kane who ultimately devoted his entire life to tracking down how people were doing forgeries and how they were creating fake counterfeit bills. And it makes me think of what we're talking about here. Steve Kane devoted his whole life to understanding the intricacies of that dollar bill, and then how these guys would come in and create an artificial version of that. And you go back to the Garden of Eden, and you see that Satan was doing that. He said, in the day you eat of this, you'll be like God. Well, that's a forgery. That's an alternative message. That's a different form of godliness, which is no godliness at all. And then we see today, thousands of years later, there are plenty of forgeries out there, alternative messages for how you can get more godly and be more godly and get more like God if you would just do this and do that. And we got to get to know the real thing, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here with us. And for our listeners, let me just say a few things about Andrew. He is an author of many books, 7, I think. His latest is The Perfect Jew. His first book was The Naked Gospel. And one of my favorites is his title, God Without Religion. And so he has plenty of resources. He is also the host of Andrew Farley Live, and we are just really glad when he joins us each and every Wednesday here on Basic Gospel. We have a great resource available to you this month. It is my book called Love Is, or entitled Love Is, and it really ties into our topic for the month, the knowledge of God. And one of the things that we learn first and foremost about God when we hear the good news about Jesus is this, that God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We see time and time again the love of God compelling Him to reach out and to save us by grace through faith. Why? Because that's His essence. That's His nature. And we want you to know more about this God that you have come to know in Jesus Christ. That's why we want to put this resource in your hands. And it is available as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel to help others come into the true knowledge of God the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So go to basicgospel.net, just click on the big banner right there on the front page, and be sure to request your copy of Love Is. Well, Andrew, we have plenty of questions that have come to us over the last couple of days through email and through YouTube. We would love to hear from some of our listeners by phone today. If you have a question, 844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and pick up that phone, dial that number right now, and come in and be a part of Basic Gospel today. But Andrew, in the meantime, B, who is one of our YouTube viewers, she had this question. It says, scriptures seem to show that people can be spiritually dead without being demon-possessed. Is that true? And then she has some follow-up questions. Do demons still possess people today? And if so, what can believers do to reach them?
Yeah. Well, certainly there's a difference between a run-of-the-mill human running around the planet and then someone who is demon-possessed. Absolutely. As you look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in the book of Acts, you see a number of instances where people are possessed by a demon, Jesus or the apostles intervene, and there is some casting out of this demon. Well, that's not the norm for the human race. Not everyone is running around being possessed by a demon. I think that's fairly intuitive, but also the scripture backs that up. We don't see Jesus addressing every person that way. We don't see the apostles in the book of Acts addressing every person that way. But we still, demon or not, we come into this world with a pretty serious problem, and that is that we're in Adam and we're spiritually dead. We're dead to God. We're alive to sin. We are called children of wrath. So there's some pretty strong language about our addiction to sin. We have a slavery to sin. And so you say, well, how do we reach lost people, even people who are struggling with demonic possession? Well, now we have this beautiful message that is so powerful and life-transforming. It's called the gospel. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we have the answer that the world is looking for, whether they are demon-possessed or not. The answer is Jesus, because when Christ cleans house and he moves into your life, he's not going to share you with a demon. We become people of God's own possession, Bob, and I think that's really important, because there are people streaming down the aisles trying to get rid of demons. You see them 7 days later, they're getting rid of more demons, and it's like a revolving door in churches, as pastors are very distracted in some cases by demon possession and or exorcisms. And I think we got to get back to the gospel and say, wait a minute, why is it that when I survey Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, why is it that there's no manual there for performing exorcisms every Sunday or performing exorcisms on the church? And the short answer to that is that once Christ moves in and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, 1 John says the evil one cannot touch us. And that is truth that we need to take to the bank and count on. The evil one can't touch me. He's all bark and no bite. And so then I say, all right, what's the answer? The answer is renewing of the mind. I got to stop thinking these lies. I got to start believing the truth. I don't have to sit there and analyze to death what's the source of this. Is this the world? Is this the flesh? Is this sin? Is this a demon? Is this Satan? I could analyze that, or I could just choose to not believe the thought and start filling my mind with the truth that sets us free. So, Bob, I think we have to come back to this tantalizing distraction of exorcism and say, no, thank you. I'm going to take the gospel truth on a daily basis. That's my focus. Jesus is my focus. I'm going to spotlight him and him alone.
Yes, yes, indeed. As you were talking, I think about our old friend Major Ian Thomas years ago. Whenever he was asked a question about demon possession and how do you reach somebody, and his answer was simply this, you know, you get the wrong man out and you get the right man in. Mm-hmm. And that really is the story of the gospel. And Andrew, I loved how you were saying, hey, God cleans house and then he moves in. Yes. Oftentimes we just stop at the fact that he's cleaned house, but that's not the whole story. He cleaned house in order for him to move in and take up residence. And that really is the story of the gospel. And once that happens, we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we had this question, Andrew, that came in from Kat. It's this: can born-again Christians fall away? Can they lose their salvation once they're saved?
Yeah, now this one, my goodness, this is a popular question, and it should be. Any thinking Christian, anybody in their right mind who has a relationship with the Lord is going to say, wow, this is pretty good. Could I lose this? Wow, this is pretty good. Could I ruin this? Could I mess this up? And, you know, over the years, Bob, I know you've answered this thousands of times. I have as well, because everybody's asking. I think we approach it from a few different angles. And the first angle is life. I mean, what is life? The life we receive in Christ how is it described? It is called eternal life. It's not temporary life. I mean, Jesus said he's able to save us completely because he always lives to intercede for us. So apparently, the length of his life is the length of your life. Your eternal life will last as long as he lives. Jesus himself put it this way, because I live, you also will live. So the first important argument here is that Jesus lives forever and it's his life. Eternal life is his life and you'll be saved as long as Jesus lives. Now, the second argument, which I think is just as strong, has to do with our forgiveness. Is anybody partially forgiven? No, that is a fallacy. There's nobody on this planet that is 50% forgiven. Nobody is 81% forgiven. Nobody's a little bit forgiven. Nobody is mostly forgiven. You're either in Adam, unforgiven, or you're in Christ, totally forgiven. Hebrews 10:14 says, we've been made perfect forever by one offering. So because our forgiveness is perfect, because it's total and complete and forever, how in the world could we lose salvation? Anybody who believes they can lose their salvation, it's because of a sin, right? Well, what did Jesus do with your sins? He took them away. He remembers them no more. And my goodness, our sins are gone. It is finished. Lastly, Bob, I would say it's not just the nature of eternal life. It's not just the nature of our forgiveness, but also it's the promises of God. I mean, he just flat out says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you are faithless, he remains faithful. Lastly, I guess you could say, well, what if I walk away from him? What if I stop loving him? Well, God took care of that. He poured out his love in your heart, and he made you a person that loves Jesus with an undying love. Ephesians 6 actually says this, that we love Jesus with an undying love. So don't let anybody ruin the stability and security that you have in Christ, Kat. It is a beautiful thing to know that we're not sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are saints in the arms of a loving Father. Big difference.
Big difference indeed. And Andrew, it's both of these questions thus far have really tied into our opening passage. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I mean, there are so many believers out there who think that they can lose salvation and they're walking on spiritual eggshells in their day-to-day experience, just hoping the hammer of God's punishment isn't going to fall on them at any given moment. Well, that's totally a lie. Those feelings that they're having are not based on truth. So we have to bring those feelings captive to the truth of the gospel. And when we do, I think our confidence in Christ begins to grow, our security in Christ begins to grow, and we come to that point that we know that we know that we know that we have been saved, that we have eternal life, and absolutely nothing can change that marvelous reality.
Yeah, you know, Jude tells us this. It says this, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior. So think about that. It's God's job to keep you. It's God's job to present you through Jesus Christ. You have no blemish. You're without fault. In fact, God is going to express great joy over you. The scripture says he dances over us and delights in us. Bob, I kind of feel like we're constantly asking as humans, am I okay? Am I safe? And God is trying to tell his children, you're not only safe, you're righteous, you're not only okay, you're off the charts right with me. I'm not just tolerating you, I'm celebrating you.
Yeah, he actually wants to be involved with us.
Yes.
This isn't drudgery for him. This is his greatest joy to have for himself a people that are his very own, a people who love him and trust him and experience the fullness of his abundant life. I mean, that's great joy for God, and yeah. We bring him that joy just trusting him every single day. Talk yeah. about good news. Talk about mind-boggling truth. That's what the good news is all about. Well, yeah. Andrew, you know, you and I, we've spent our lives, our adult lives, wanting to get this message out, helping others experience this great joy that can only be found in Christ Jesus, coming to that point where they're resting in the finished work of Jesus, where they're confident in their salvation. They know they're righteous, and they're experiencing joy and contentment in their own lives. And the only message that can bring that about is the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And we at Basic Gospel are asking people to come on board with us, to step up and be a part of delivering this good news through the airwaves, through all of the various social media platforms and channels that are available to us, and help people come to the point of truly knowing God as their Father, Jesus Christ as their Savior, and as their very life. And we need your help to do it. And this month is just a wonderful opportunity. It is our fiscal year end, and we certainly need as many people as possible to give generously, to help meet our year-end goals so that we can begin a new year fresh and strong and ready to continue this outreach. So join with us today. Whatever you can give, whether it's $50, $100, $1,000, please do so. And you can make that gift at Basic Gospel, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and just follow all the instructions there. And whatever you do, whatever gift, be assured that those dollars will translate into people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and coming to that point where they believe. Many who are lost are going to be saved. Many who are still in bondage to religion will be set free. That's what your dollars are going to be used for. That's how God is going to use them. So we ask you to be as generous as possible. And again, you can go to basicgospel.net to make that gift and help us finish fiscal year 2021 in a very strong way. Well, Andrew, just a few minutes for this question. It's this: I understand that the new covenant is a covenant made between God and man. When we hear the gospel, is faith simply choosing to enter into what God's already about and what he has already freely planned for us?
Absolutely. I mean, he's planned this for anybody and everybody that'll call on his name. Faith is not a force like you might see in Star Wars. Faith has an object, and that object is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And when we put our confidence in him, when we put our trust in him, we are simply benefiting from the forgiveness and the new life that God has planned for anyone and everyone. So if you don't know him yet, call on his name. He's the Lord, and he is good.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew, as always, thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. We'll look forward to having you again next week. For all of our listeners, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's my book, Love Is. It is an in-depth look at the definition of love as Paul laid it out or spelled it out for us in 1 Corinthians 13, 15 action statements that tell the story of how God is loving you right now and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Go to basicgospel.net to request your copy. Just click the donate button, follow the instructions, and we'll get this resource into your hands as quickly as possible. Now for Andrew, for Greg, for Coleman, for Kim and Michelle and Vivian, for the entire Basic Gospel team. I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.